This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Who's our next guest?
Well, next up we have Catherine Bell, the curator of the Femme Affinity exhibition at Arts Project Australia.
Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me today.
Our pleasure. Now, as we always like to start off with you telling us exactly who you are.
Okay. Well, I'm a practicing artist. I've been making art for 30 years. I also dabble in curation. And I'm also an academic at the Australian Catholic University where I teach visual arts.
Oh, brilliant. Yes. Look at you. Overachiever, aren't you?
You've got to be multidisciplinary, multifaceted these days if you're going to survive in the arts.
Well, exactly. So where did it all start for you? Where did the passion for the arts come from?
I think it was always there, even when I was at high school. I loved, painting and drawing and going to look at art exhibitions. I loved film. But when I was at high school, there weren't many sort of opportunities to go into art. It wasn't like you could go to your school guidance counsellor and say, look, I'm creative. I really want to do creative things.
Yeah.
And they'd just turn to you and go, you should do podiatry or nursing, So there was not many avenues if you were a creative person back in those days.
Yes.
So I feel like, I just had to sort of find my niche. And how
did you go about that?
Well, I guess I come from a family of teachers, so I was really encouraged to go into teaching. So when I finished high school, I went and did a BA and I studied art history and English literature. And then I told my parents I was going to go and do teaching, but then I enrolled in a visual arts degree. And this was in Brisbane back at QUT.
Yep.
And so I studied visual arts and then I just loved it. And when I finished, I was taken on by a commercial gallery dealer in Brisbane and was given my first solo show, and then it just took off from there. I supplement my income by working in aged care, and I was one of the first volunteers at the Queensland AIDS Council and worked as a volunteer there. So I've always worked in sort of palliative care, and I guess that really influenced my practice. So it's got a strong social justice focus to it.
And how did you end up in Melbourne?
I moved to Melbourne in the early 90s and I studied a master's at RMIT, and then I had a Gertrude Street residency. So I was there for 6 months and made work, and then I took the leap and went overseas and went to London, that rite of passage when Aussies go to the UK on a working holiday visa. And then I ended up staying there for 18 years.
Wow.
Whole other life.
Yeah.
I worked as a nanny for many years, for 5 years. And then I did a research fellowship at Oxford University and at the Ruskin School of Fine Art. And then met my ex-Iranian husband, lived with him in Paris for many years, travelled the world, had a very, adventurous life. But always, seeking out art and art opportunities and looking at art
And you as an artist, what is your, what do you do? What's your passion in as an artist?
Well, I think it's evolved over the years, but at the moment I'm working in what I would call socially engaged art. So I just had a residency for 18 months at St Vincent's Hospital where I worked with oncology and palliative care staff about death and dying. So I facilitated numerous workshops that helped the staff to reflect on the impact of death and dying in the healthcare setting. So that was my second artist residency at St Vincent's Hospital. So I'm very interested in how working with diverse communities can, I guess, highlight the effects or the experiences that affect those communities
and
express
did you,
creatively.
Did you actually do any exhibitions?
Yes, the exhibition of which was actually supported by the City of Melbourne was shown at the St Vincent's private hospital in the foyer. So all of those works created by oncology staff and medical staff and allied health professionals both at St Vincent's Hospital and Caritas Christi Hospice in Kew, all of those works were exhibited in the foyer of St Vincent's Private Hospital, and it was the first time they had a visual arts exhibition in that space, so it was quite pioneering.
And how did it go?
It was really well received. I guess I sat the show for 6 weeks and I created some questionnaires so that I could ask the public to respond to the works and they to get their experience of death and dying using the artworks as a catalyst to talk about it. So it opened on All Souls Day, which in the Catholic Church celebrates the the dead. So that gave me sort of poetic license to begin these questionnaires and talk. And the public wanted to talk about death and dying. And the show coincided with the Victorian Bill of Assisted Suicide.
Okay.
It's not the right way of saying it. But, yeah, this assisted dying in palliative care. That was passed in Victoria, the only state that passed that bill. So it was a very controversial time to be making work about that and also speaking to the public about that issue.
What sort of art, you know, like give us a snapshot of what was exhibited?
Well, I would facilitate these one-to-one workshops with staff within the healthcare settings. So it was about stimulating their senses. So as soon as they would walk in, I'd get them to describe the smell, which was the medium they were using, which was squid ink. And I'd get them to describe that smell when they walked in. And they'd be very reluctant to describe the smell because as healthcare workers, and I have been one and worked in aged care as well. So I know that you don't really express what the smell is. You just get used to it, you know, because you're working in with bodies. So it is a very bodily smell, squid ink. Yep. And so I would get them to describe that smell, and often they would relate that to bodily smells. And then I would get them to absorb, you know, pull up the squid ink in this squirting bottle and then squirt it on the page that was provided. And they were to reflect, while they were doing that, they were to reflect on a significant experience of death in the workplace. And then they would look at that mark and then say how that mark spoke to that death. And then they'd do another mark-making exercise, but this time the paper was stuck to a stable table that has those little motes that are used in aged care. They'd put the pool of ink and then they manipulate that stable table until the squid ink exited off the page. And so when that, again, they were to reflect on a significant memory of death and then again speak to how that mark spoke to that death. And then the final exercise, I gave them the weight of a cremated body in black plasticine and I asked them to manipulate that plasticine to how they wanted to be remembered or what was worth living for. So they were to then reflect on their own mortality and manipulate that plasticine. So it was 1.5 kilograms, which is the weight of a cremated body. And then everybody that was involved, and there were over 100 participants, used the same piece of plasticine. So by the end of it, it had gone down by 60 grams because it had got caught under their fingernails or on their skin. So they were involuntarily scattering these communal ashes, which were the plasticine. So I will continue doing that project until all of that plasticine has disappeared. And then the works were curated in a way that where the squid ink left the page, they were mapped together into a work called Mapping in Memoriam. And I can guarantee if you three gentlemen did that exercise, they would link up perfectly. And the staff would always be astounded with how that occurred. And they were going, how did you do that? Or how did you know that would do that? But I would just say that it's the medium sort of dictating that, but it also shows when they're mapped together. So everyone was perfectly mapped to someone else's, that we're all connected by this universal truth of death, but we never talk about it. So that show was about not only reflecting about death and honouring the deaths of people who had passed in the workplace, but when it was shown to the public, it helped them discuss their experiences of death. But it was also very comforting for them to know that the staff at the hospital remembered their loved ones, and those memories had stayed with those people, and they'd reflected on those deaths.
Was it like a bit of therapy for these people?
It was definitely had
death all the time.
It definitely had therapeutic benefits, and the participants would say how, you know, it was the first time they'd ever expressed, you know, that I'd have palliative care nurses who'd been working for 40 years at Caritas Christi Hospice who'd never, you know, discussed their experiences with family members or friends or even other staff. So it definitely gave them a forum to just to discuss that and the impact of that.
Yeah.
So what do you lecture?
It varies. I teach studio art. So, and because it's an undergraduate degree, so first, second and third year, I teach undergraduate sculpture. I teach professional practice, which is getting students out into the arts industry. I also teach community internships, so students doing internships in the arts industry. I supervise postgraduate students as well. So lots of different hats that I wear in that role. I'm also the director of the ACU Gallery, so we have 6 to 8 exhibitions every year in our university art space. So that's sort of our interface with the community for them to have shows.
And, oh, it's community that have the shows there.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, so we that's part of the university mission to give, you know, marginalised groups or community groups that have something important they want to say through their artwork, they get priority for that space. Yeah.
Right. Okay, brilliant.
Yeah.
Now, let's start talking about this show you've come in to talk about today.
Yes.
What's it called?
It's called Femme Affinity, and it's going to be launched at Arts Project Australia Saturday 15th of June between 3 and 5.
Yep.
And it's an exhibition that explores the synergies between 14 selected women artists, and it also looks at how, I guess, the different ways to interpret female identity.
So why were you asked to do this exhibition?
Okay, well, Arts Projects Australia, they run an external curators program that's sponsored by the LIM Foundation, the LIM Family Foundation, and I put in a proposal to do a show that looked at, that focused on women's art, but also it's got a feminist underpinning as well. So it's sort of, it's looking at how, I guess, we can, how can we be more inclusive as curators and artists in the art world and include marginalised voices and diversity in the art world? Because as we know, historically, the art world has been sexist and racist and operated under patriarchal systems, and so they've excluded marginalised voices and underrepresented women
and
in the art world.
How exciting was it going out there looking for these artists to exhibit in the exhibition?
Well, very exciting. There's 7 Arts Project artists, women, who, I mean, I've been going to Arts Project for over 10 years, so I've always had a particular interest in the work of the women there. And when I go to their fantastic exhibitions and I see the artist's work, I'll see a Lisa Reed painting, portrait painting, and I'll think, oh, you know, that really reminds me of Yvette Coppersmith painting. I'd love to see their work hanging together and see, you know, the synergies and the conversations that happen around the work. Yeah, I think because I feel like I have a good understanding of the Art Projects Australia artists because I've been collaborating with an artist there called Kathy Staunton for 10 years, so I know her works particularly well, but you get to know all of the other artists when you go up into their open plan studio, and I've been involved in 2 projects there curated by Lindy Judge, who is was a studio artist there, and she's a contemporary artist and curator, and she's curated me into 2 shows at Arts Projects Australia where I've worked very closely with Kathy Staunton on both exhibitions. So it's really extended upon that model, and it's really inspired this show because I wanted the 7 external artists to experience what it's like to go up into the Arts Project Australia open plan studio where it's so welcoming and dynamic, and the artists all sit together and make work. And so for the last 6 months, the 7 external artists, they've been paired with particular Arts Projects Australia artists, and they've made new work. So they've collaborated on a new body of work, but the show will also have past works as well to sort of show that these artists are contemporaries, that these artists have had a line of inquiry in their work that goes for some artists like Dot Berry. She's been practicing there for 40 years. She's one of their oldest artists, 77 years old.
Oh, gorgeous.
And her work is just incredible. She's, you know, she works with the bird motif throughout her practice, and she's been paired with Jill Orr. Although they didn't collaborate on a new body of work, I wanted Jill Orr and Dorothy Berry to be side by side in this show because they've had an enduring interest in the bird motif throughout their practice. So their work will represent earlier works and works till now that show that you know, that sustained subject matter.
Whoa. It's a lot of time and effort.
Labour of love. Love it. You know, what's that saying? If it's make your vocation your vacation or whatever. But I've loved every minute of it. Like, I've I mean, I go, Arts Project's just down the road from where I live, so it's also really convenient to always drop in. But I'm a really hands-on curator and I've been documenting the process because I love seeing the artists meet with each other. So when they would come to Arts Projects Australia, they'd bring their work, their portfolios, they would share their work together, show their work. You would see, you know, what particular synergies that they had with each other's work, whether it be with, you know, Heather Shimmin and Bronwyn Hack. They're both printmakers, so they would show their portfolio to each other. And Bronwyn Hack from Arts Projects Australia would notice the drips that Heather has in her work. It's like a sort of a symbol in her work. She'll do an under paint that's all drippy, and you know, Bronwyn immediately noticed that and said she loved the drips. And then the subject matter sort of comes to the fore, and they both work with bones, and their work is quite sort of gothic. You know, they like Bronwyn Hack showed Heather her zines that she digitally illustrates that are things like, you know, about the guillotine and medieval sort of torture. And then and Heather's really interested. She's been interested in true crime and, you know, mythological narratives of, you know, gods, you know, raping and pillaging. And, you know, so there was already a synergy of subject matter there. And then because it's a multidisciplinary show, there's painting and drawing and printmaking and photography. So, their work for this show is an exquisite corpse. So they can sort of integrate all of their prints together on this.
How did you document it?
Oh, I was just, you know, I'm a mad Instagrammer. So I was sort of documenting it in stages when they meet with each other, how the work's developing. Yep. They've also got some funding to do sort of a documentary, well, a sort of mini, that was a bit sort of overzealous, so sort of a marketing clip that sort of pulls the show together and the curatorial premise and how the artworks have evolved. So, yeah, it's... personally, I documented it just so that it's some of the images will be in the catalogue. Also, because we got funding from Australia Council, we're going to be producing a book that will archive the process and the works in the show. And we've also got Nets touring funding through the Australia Council. So it's going to tour to 7 venues after the launch at Arts Projects Australia, regionally around Australia. So
fantastic.
It's very exciting over the next 2 years.
Yeah. Oh, great.
So that's a real validation for the show and wanting to support women and women artists.
So when does it start?
Well, the tour starts in January, so January 2020.
Yep, but the exhibition?
Yeah, the exhibition's launched on the 15th of June, Saturday the 15th of June, at 3 o'clock.
And where is it?
It's at Arts Projects Australia, which is 24 High Street, Northcote. Yep.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much for
my
coming
pleasure.
In today.
Thanks for having me.
Wow. You know, like you're overachiever.
Well, thank you.
and you love your what did you put on my tongue?
Our Rescue Remedy.
A Rescue
I do
Remedy.
A commercial for it. So good. See, I was totally relaxed. So are you?
Yeah. But we're used to doing this.
True.
Great interview. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
You're on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.